us go. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Come, let us go. Let us go into the house of the Lord, where He will teach us His ways.
Hello, and welcome to New Covenant Fellowship's virtual church service. We are so glad you are joining us for worship. My name is Jimmy Bean. I sing, play drums and congas sometimes in the worship band here at New Covenant Fellowship, and I am so happy to be a member of our congregation. Our opening scripture is from Psalm 99, verses 1 through 5. The Lord rules. The nations shake. He sits enthroned on the winged heavenly creatures. The earth quakes. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them thank your great and awesome name. He is holy. Strong King who loves justice, you are the one who established what is fair. You worked justice and righteousness in Jacob. Magnify the Lord our God. Bow low at His footstool. He is holy. Now please join me in prayer for this service. Holy God, please prepare our hearts to encounter You through the songs, scriptures, and teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Majesty. Welcome, New Covenant. I am Layman Weisvis, and I am a fallible human being, just as you all are. And I wish I was as faithful as Paul in the New Testament when he says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly." While I sometimes fail at the always part for praying for you all constantly, you are constantly on my mind. And you know why Paul is so thankful? In the following verse, he says, "As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, you indeed fit this criteria, with blessings of groups spiritually and financially, such as the Champaign County Christian Health Center, Spring Initiative, See You at Home, and our missionary friends, the Lobos, among your achievements. God bless Paige Weston and Lawrence for the barbecue last Sunday as proof positive that you always put your faith in action. Since we are living in troubled times, I offer up the following prayer. We ask, Father God, that you resolve the various conflicts in this world and bring peace to those who seek it. Thank you for covering of each and every one of us with your love, for you are our protection. We are all grateful that you bless us with your word, and we ask that you continue to guide us in this time of hardship and troubles and protect our brethren here and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen.
This world offers. So why? The Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whom I have grasped by the strong hand to conquer nations before him, disarming kings and opening doors before him so no gates will be shut, I myself will go before you. And I will level mountains. I will shatter bronze doors. I will cut through iron bars. I will give you hidden treasures of secret riches, so you will know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I called you by name. I gave you an honored title, though you didn't know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I strengthen you, though you don't know me. So all will know, from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is nothing apart from me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form light and create darkness, make prosperity and create doom. I am the Lord who does all these things. Pour down, you heavens above, and let the clouds flow with righteousness. Let the earth open for salvation to bear fruit. Let righteousness sprout as well. I, the Lord, have created these things.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, morning.
of God, it is good to be with you again in this virtual service, delving into the Bible together to learn more of God and how we can participate with God's work in the world. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and I am excited to share what I see as a pattern of God choosing unlikely people with whom to share power so that we can care for and empower others to the glory of God's name. I think this model of being empowered in order to serve God's people, including those who are different from ourselves, is one we might observe in the Hebrew Bible, in Christian scriptures, and in our own lives. Today we are going to focus on the unusual case of Cyrus, king of Persia, chosen by God to be the agent of blessing to God's people, the Judean exiles in Babylon. In this story, we can recognize similarities to how God has worked throughout history and in our own lives, noticing patterns while also acknowledging that God is not bound by rules, but is creatively consistent in character as loving, merciful, faithful, and just. In Isaiah 45, God's faithfulness to Israel is revealed in an unexpected manner through the raising up of Persian King Cyrus, whom the Lord calls his anointed one. In Hebrew, Messiah, which is usually translated as Messiah. To call a foreign non-Israelite king anointed by God is unusual indeed, reminding us that while we might recognize patterns of God's work, calling and empowering leaders to deliver God's people, God often surprises us about who and whom and how God chooses to participate in God's liberating movements. The Lord says to Cyrus in Isaiah 45, 2 through 3, I myself will go before you, and I will level mountains. I will shatter bronze doors. I will cut through iron bars. I will give you hidden treasures of secret riches, so you will know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. What is the context of God's choice of Cyrus? This prophecy came a generation after the Babylonian Empire destroyed the Judean state and exiled much of its population. This Isaiah prophesies the victory of the Persian king Cyrus over the Babylonian Empire and promises the Judean exiles that they can return to their homeland and rebuild the temple there. The first aspect of God's empowerment of Cyrus is one we often hear in Scripture, so that you will know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. God wants Cyrus, wants each person God chooses, to know who God is, the Lord, the God of Israel. And I would suggest that this is always part of God's relationship and revelation to us, God's identity, lordship, and faithfulness to God's promise to be known as Israel's God, in order that everyone in all the nations might know God's nature. And so I invite us to remember God's revelation to us personally. One of those times that we have experienced the Lord calling our name so that we might know God's love and faithfulness. It is amazing to me how very personal God is, the Lord of all creation, calling our name. It boggles my mind to try and imagine how God knows each one of us and wants to be in relationship with each of us. God reveals God's self because God wants to be known by us as the creator of all things, ruler of the universe, and as the Lord who knows us and beckons us to respond. In my experiences, it is often those times that God has called me to partner in God's work, to serve in a sometimes unexpected way, that I have felt most clearly the reality of God as both awesome in power and so personal in relationship to me. 10 years ago, I was working as a tenured school counselor with no intention of increasing my involvement in church, content to leave leadership and vision or whatever would happen at NCF to others. I was not listening for God or looking for change. The process of being called into service as a pastor was a powerful experience of God's presence. When I heard God calling my name in ways that I could not ignore, even when I tried to resist. And that revelation of God to me personally was not just for my own sake, to deepen my relationship to God, but it was for the purpose of serving God's people present at New Covenant and our fellowship around the world. So while I don't imagine myself to be the king of Persia, and I'm certainly not substituting New Covenant in place of the people of Israel, I can recognize God's actions of calling, blessing, and empowering me in order to serve God's people. And while you might not feel that you have much in common with King Cyrus, I'd guess that you can also witness to events in your life where God has empowered you to serve others, even when you might not seem the most obvious person for the job. When I think of other times in my life where I have most strongly experienced the reality of God's presence, those have often been when God was asking me, empowering me, to serve in a particular way, to participate in the work God is doing that invites me to say yes to a role that I had not expected. And when I remember when many of the personal testimonies of others of you experiencing God's presence, it has often been in God calling you to serve in a particular way. So that we can observe the pattern of God revealing God's self to us most personally when God calls us into service of God's people, without thinking ourselves to be foreign kings or replacing Israel with any other group of people. Continuing in verse 4 of chapter 45 of Isaiah, the Lord says to Cyrus, "For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I called you by name. I gave you an honored title, though you didn't know me." It isn't that Cyrus sought God. Though this Persian king did not know God, God surprisingly chose him and anointed him for God's purpose. People expected that God would raise up a leader from the people of Israel and anoint them as deliverer, like Moses, like Gideon, like David. But God chose an unexpected avenue of blessing to use a foreign king to accomplish the return of the exiles and the rebuilding of the temple. It seems that God's choice of unexpected leaders is also a pattern, including in the deliverers just named within Israel, Moses, Gideon, David. None of them were the obvious choices. Moses and Gideon both tried to sidestep God's anointing to free Israel from the power of other nations. And when Samuel was sent to anoint a new king of Jesse's sons, David was not even included in the initial lineup. God chose Elizabeth, long past the age of childbearing, to be the mother of John the Baptist. God's choice of Mary, an unmarried girl, to be the mother of God's anointed was also unexpected. From the podunk town of Nazareth, from the working class rather than the educated elite, Jesus himself was an unexpected choice. He was neither priest nor king. He came from the backwaters of Galilee. Jesus' choice of followers, his 12 disciples, were also unexpected. Fishermen, tax collectors, revolutionaries. God's designation of the Apostle Paul was also an unexpected choice, as the Pharisee to proclaim Jesus to the Gentiles. And God's choice to include Gentiles, to graft us into the promise through Jesus of Nazareth, was also unexpected. To the disciples who trained with him for 3 years, and heard Jesus proclaim that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to Paul himself. And so the pattern of God's work that we recognize is that God often chooses the unexpected. God demonstrates love for the particular, for God's chosen people Israel, through the anointing of individuals that were not the obvious choice. Reflecting on my own experience of God's calling on my life, I noticed that God has asked me to serve God's people in unexpected ways. When I came on board as pastor at New Covenant, I understood that I was called to serve the founding generation of this fellowship and to preserve our history of honoring the Jewish roots of our faith. My experience of being part of this congregation learning from our pastors for 18 years, and valuing those relationships, that history, and their wisdom, enabled me to be a bridge to whatever comes next. What I did not expect was to be asked to lead us in the process of becoming fully LGBTQ plus affirming. As a hetero, cisgendered, married woman with two kids, a dog, and a cat, my identity appears pretty traditional, not the obvious choice for leading that process. Nor did I ever imagine that God would call me to lead us on the road of reparations. There are so many more knowledgeable people with a passion for racial justice. Neither the LGBTQ community nor the African American community might seem like exactly my people. Rather, perhaps like Cyrus, I have been called to be an ally, to use whatever power I have been given for the good of those communities. And it is in the calling to serve in these capacities that I have felt God's anointing, God's calling of my name so strongly. So in this particular model of how God can work to give power, in today's example, to Cyrus in order to bless, liberate, and empower God's people Israel, we see first that God wants to be known. God reveals God's self to Cyrus, God's identity as Lord and as Israel's God. God calls someone who does not know God for the sake of being faithful to God's chosen people. God's faithfulness to God's own promises, the particularity of calling a certain people, models the love God has for all nations and all peoples. God's unexpected choice of Cyrus, of those who seem unlikely, of us, reveals a creativity and consistency beyond our imaginations. And God's larger goal, beyond being known by Cyrus, beyond being faithful to Israel, is for all people and all nations to know that God alone is Lord. In verses 5 through 6 of Isaiah chapter 45, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I strengthen you, though you don't know me, so all will know, from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is nothing apart from me. I am the Lord, there's no other. God is specific, showcasing faithfulness and love to God's chosen in order to be a light to the nations. This pattern of particular love, demonstrating God's plan for humanity, reaches its pinnacle in the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that we might see God's faithfulness to God's Son, as we are invited to be God's children, to be joint heirs with Jesus, that we too might experience God's faithfulness beyond our death. It is in the specificity of love for a chosen people and for a beloved Son that we glimpse God's plan for all peoples and all who accept the invitation to be God's children. And so what might we glean from the story of the king of Persia, God's anointed to bless the Judean exiles to return to Jerusalem and to use his economic resources and authority to facilitate the rebuilding of the temple? First, that God calls us to participate in God's good work because God wants to reveal God's self, God's very nature as loving, merciful, faithful, and just to us. God wants to be known by us, to be in relationship with us. Second, that God calls us because God is faithful to God's people, and we are called to serve based on that faithfulness. God does not abandon God's people in slavery, in exile, in good times, in failures. God's love for the world, for whom God sent God's Son, is demonstrated first in God's loving faithfulness to Israel. While the world might forget God, while humanity falls short of God's crowning us as stewards of creation, God so loves the world that God will be faithful beyond all of our shortcomings and sin. And third, that God empowers us so that we can empower others. Each of us has gifts and resources that we can choose to use for our own benefit or for the good of God's people in need. God is looking for people to say yes to participating in God's work in the world. And that is glorious, anointed kingdom work. And finally, that the goal of God making God's self known to us, of demonstrating faithfulness to promises and God's chosen people, and of empowering us to empower others, is that all will know, from the east to the west, that there is no God besides the Lord. God is the Lord, and there is no one else. And so today, God calls each of us by name to empower us to participate in God's good work in the world. You might feel yourself an unexpected choice. You might be surprised at whom God calls you to serve. You might not have realized that you have been empowered for a purpose. But though we might not have known God, God knows us personally, and we are invited to participate in God's love, mercy, faithfulness, and justice. Please join me in prayer. O God, who forms light and creates darkness, who makes prosperity and creates doom, you are the Lord who does all these things. Pour down, you heavens above, and let the clouds flow with righteousness. Let the earth open for salvation to bear fruit. Let righteousness sprout as well. For you, the Lord, have created these things. We thank you, Lord, for calling those who do not know you to participate in your kingdom work. We thank you for your faithfulness to your people Israel as you show your faithfulness to all peoples and the world you created. We ask that you would call us by name, that we might know you better, and that you would empower us to empower others, that we too might serve your people with the gifts you have given us. It is in Jesus' name, in whose life, death, and resurrection you demonstrate your faithfulness and promises to all your children, we pray. Amen.
Heard my people cry, all who dwell in darkness sin. your sister Cheryl, well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another. Share the well, my friend.
Of this earth on their way to join the flow are cast aside and left in thirst. Tell me now it is not so.
Share the well, share with your brother, share the well, my friend. It takes a deeper well to love one another. Share the well, my friend. Share the well, share with your sister, share the well.
My name is Melissa Logsdon, and I'm serving as interim associate pastor. Please join me in today's benediction. O God, you know each of us by name, and in your sight we have found favor. Yet our minds cannot comprehend the vision of your glory or the vastness of your love. Grant that we may glimpse your greatness reflected in your many gifts, and always return to you the praise that is yours alone. We ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the sun.
Sun and the moon in his hands.